Helloa, ya Hater, Edison Hader, o ya Erme, Mike Proposio, Greg Atolo, Ray Valcoman.
I had a dream like this once, and then when I woke up, my bed was just a pool of sweat. this is really weird for me. Hearing Ed talk in a different language like that makes me think that the world I'm in is not the world I was in before. It's like I'm in my own Mandela effect of a timeline.
Mike Ray told us he was going to study and learn Swedish racing and Swedish and everything we needed for next week for Elite Lop, so I guess he's not there yet.
Well, you didn't say the language. You were just wanting me to be familiar with the racing style, not the verbiage. Or
have you watched a race yet?
Of course I've watched Swedish racing.
Okay.
How what makes you think? You think I'm some sort of Philistine?
Can you name us? I'm going to set number three. Can you name us three racetracks in Sweden?
Solvalla,
okay. Yep.
Abbey,
yeah.
Obi.
Sweden Downs.
I'm glad I almost said two, but I'm glad I said three because I figured you come up with something other than Solvalla. But.
Yeah, so like I'll be ready to go, but this isn't even about that. Like that's a different show that you're already promoting right now.
Well, Mike, we should promote it, and we're going to talk through this in real time, but I guess so next week. We're going to have several things while I am overseas. We are going to – actually, before I go overseas, Sunday, that's coming Sunday, will be a show out, you, me, and Thomas Svensson just kind of previewing. Obviously, last year we did a great preview show. That's a good one to go listen to if anybody's looking to get some Elite Lop prep. But we'll do a little bit more of a show like that, you, me, and Thomas. Sunday before I go overseas, sometime Wednesday, Thursday-ish, it'll be published at the end of the week. I'll be on PTF show, obviously. We'll do some discussing of races. Gosh, I hate being on camera when we have to see Ray.
I'm just getting camera ready, so just keep talking.
We will do the show with PTF. We'll provide some thoughts there, and then really looking forward, Mike, to the live stream we're going to have Friday late afternoon when I get back from the track at Solvalla. It'll be 8 or 9 o'clock in Sweden, 2, 3 in the afternoon here in the States. You, me, Thomas, hopefully we'll be able to include Ray learning enough stuff, and we'll be able to really handicap some of the weekend's races. So really looking forward to another great Elite Lop weekend, and obviously looking forward to an excellent time in Sweden.
Yeah, lucky you that you get to go. Maybe they'll invite me one of these years, but you get to go over there and do TV. But last year was awesome. You got great interviews over there. We're able to spend a lot of time doing TV. And so we're going to do that final answer show. So you get the final answer show for Derby and Preakness from the Thoroughbred guys. Well, the Harness Players podcast is going to give you final answer show for the Swedish racing and their biggest race, the Elite Lop. So last year it was phenomenal. Really, really great race. The crowd over there is fantastic. And the fact that you're over there getting information for us, you know, if you followed the podcast last year, lots of great information. We have Thomas, Thomas Svensson, giving us fantastic tidbits about horses and shoeing and different connections and things like that. So there is so much to get. And if you're interested in this racing, and if you're interested in harness racing, you should be interested in this because this is their derby over there. You have to get on and check out all the Swedish coverage for next week. You won't be disappointed.
Well, sorry, Ray, I got to continue to have fun with this. Give me five trainers or drivers in Sweden.
Okay. Marcus Nicholson, Fredrik Magnusson, Hans Obern. There's definitely a Lars Olvege. I know that. Was that four? So I got one. Well, I got one more.
At least a Bjorn Goop and Urien Kielström. Jerry Reardon.
Everyone is familiar with them. I want the people who are listening to think of some of the smaller players because those guys get their names out there all the time. It's rare that you actually get to talk about Stefan Niklaus. You know, he's had a pretty good career over there. Just you know, and in some of the fair racing that they have. I was going to say to Mike's point, it doesn't matter. Forget if you even like harness racing. If you're a guy who likes big pools, you should care about Swedish racing because the pools are there and that should be enough for you to figure out why you should learn Swedish racing. Cause I mean, you look at so many betting opportunities in North America. Sometimes the pools are eeny bitty. They're like kiddie pools. Sweden is full size adult pools with some of their racing. The win pools usually are pretty big. The exotic pools are pretty big. And, you know, it's like they say, wherever the money is, you should follow.
That's a good point. Between ATG with obviously the Swedish and Scandinavian racing and the PMU regarding, you know, French racing, French harness racing and Swedish and Scandinavian harness racing have bigger pools than a fair number of our North American thoroughbred tracks each and every day. So, I mean, if you're chasing pool sizes, it's definitely worth getting involved with. But a lot of content we'll have from Sweden next week. I don't think we're going to have a proper Harness Players podcast next week as a result. So that's why this week we'll come on and hopefully give you a couple of handicapping selections, a couple of thoughts. And we're really going to dial in on Friday's racing. Friday, May 17th, we're going to go to three different places. We are going to go to Western Pennsylvania. We are going to go to Ontario, Canada, and Baltimore, Maryland. And yes, that means we're going to discuss a little Preakness weekend action bonus coverage at the end. But let's start, I guess, in order of our day. We're going to start at 12:45 out at Hollywood Casino at the Meadows. Regarding our coverage for the Meadows long term, Mike, we're going to have a lot to look forward to this year. Hopefully, discussing again towards the Adios, some of the big stakes out there, the Courier and Ives through June, some of those Sire stakes, the Arden Downs towards the end of the month, the Adio Volo in July, and hopefully once again this year, you and I and Kevin Ploucher were on site last year. Hopefully you, Kevin, we'll see whether or not I can find a plane out there. We'll see if Ray can't hitchhike his way out there. Maybe someone else will join the mix, but there should be some good coverage again this year for the Meadows.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be out there. Kevin and I were there on Derby Day and did some coverage with Jeff, and so we had a great time there, and we're always kind of jumping in at the Meadows and giving some analysis. Lots of good racing there, and we hope to continue the relationship this year. I'll definitely be there audio day. I know Kevin will be. Apparently Stan is very itchy in the background here, so if don't mind the dog.
Ray, will you be able to go? Ray, you know, there's certain
tracks. Do I need permission? What?
There's certain tracks that I realize that you never go to, so what? We should probably just put out there, where are you banned from? Are you allowed at the Meadows?
Like, no, why would I be banned from any track? I'm allowed at every single track. I just choose not to go to certain tracks. Like I choose to not go to War Room Downs, for example, because I'm not a violent guy. I'm also not a big fan of Kidnap Raceway, it's a weird vibe over there. You can kind of guess. I'm on occasion going to Looting Downs. I'll admit to that at the very least.
What about the Tucson Greyhound track?
I'm not familiar. I know that there are many dogs out in that state.
Frank is probably banned there.
Honestly, if you want to ask people who are banned, you should be asking my dad.
Anybody's bored, you can go look up the Tucson Greyhound track. I got to credit Nathan Klein from the University of Arizona for showing me this. You can read all you want about the fictitious Tucson Greyhound track. But all right, we're devolving here, Ray, as usual, with any time you're involved in something. So races 8, 9, and 10 Friday. The Adios Betty, Pennsylvania Sire Stakes, 3-year-old Philly Pace. We got three divisions, and Mike, we are going to get to see some stars of the sport. It starts with race 8. Field of 6, Geocentric, 9-for-10 last year. Actually, I start with Ray because Ray's got his big I was right moment here. Geocentric, 9-for-10 last year. The one loss came at 2-to-5 in the Breeders' Crown, and Ray did his whole voodoo magic. These horses aren't going to like the Hoosier track. Down goes the heavy favorite.
No, I liked her inside of that race, but you know, the long season kind of ate its course. That's what happens. I'm not gonna ring around the W here because the 1-to-5 was beaten by the 7-to-2. My girl EJ wasn't even like that big of a price when she won the Breeders' Crown Final there.
But Geocentric was 7th.
Oh, okay, and a horse finished 8th. Whoa, that's never happened before. Well, what matters here is that she's still a good horse, and she very clearly has recovered from whatever incident she was dealing with to cause that 7th place finish with a pair of qualifiers, one of 54-4, the other in 51-4, that one a back half of 54 and change. She's fine. She's ready to go. That sucks because she's going to be like 3, 4 to 5, if not lower inside of this race. So really the only way you could play this is to try and nail some kind of exacta cold or something like that. And even then, it's like you're turning, 1-to-5 into, 3-4-to-1. Like, sometimes that's great. It might be great inside of a spot like this. Just we're so far out, I I can't really presume there's going to be great value saying like hitting a 1-3 cold exacta, though. That's what I like inside of this race. I do like a Sweet Beach here, making her first start for Andrew Harris. Those two qualifiers are pretty good. I liked her for Irv Miller. So I feel like Harris should be able to build off of whatever Irv's done. And you know, she gets a good draw. She should be able to work a good trip, and she could at least chase Geocentric home. And then that's that.
You know, Mike, I talked about this last week on my coverage and previews of the Meadows that, you know, maybe it's not the case here with Geocentric at you know, with her class and the price she's going to be. But some of these races early season like the Sire Stakes are kind of interesting because, you know, sometimes you're going to get a better price on the horse that might have 3 or 4 starts on this year. And maybe that, you know, extra fitness is beneficial against a horse who obviously might be more talented on paper. But first start of the year, first start as a 3-year-old, you know, question marks there. So I don't know how many question marks you find with Geocentric specifically in this case, but maybe that's a point to try to get someone like Miraculous Day, who was the second choice in the morning line, out of the exacta.
Yeah, I mean, recency matters. You don't know how they're going to come back from 2 to 3. Some that crush at 3 or 2 don't come back at 3 and find the same form. This horse appears to be a generational type talent. I mean, lost one race and was 2 to 5 in that spot. Who knows how she'll come back? But that 25-3 kick in that qualifier pretty much tells you she's probably going to be herself in this race. And there's not a lot in here that I think that really could take her down, even if she's not quite herself. So, but there's bigger fishes to fry here, obviously. This is just the start of the season. And, you know, I'm sure that if they were second here, it wouldn't be the end of the world for them. I don't mind Miraculous Deo. I think that she could be a progressive type. She was racing well at the end of the season last year and made $172,000 despite only one win. So, and they're jumping right in here. McCarthy shows up to drive. So I'm sure that they're looking to have a big season with that one also. And we'll see how some of these, you know, 3-year-olds come back. I mean, there's always questions.
Well, race 9 is the second division, and Mike, we've got my girl EJ, speaking of the Breeders' Crown champion from last year. She makes her seasonal debut here, outside post 7 for her, and for me, I like someone else, but what says you?
Well, I mean, we saw her on Audios Day last year, and she got freaky good towards the end of last year. I was able to beat you know, Geocentric in that Breeders' Crown and ended up losing the 3 Diamonds final, but you know, lost to a nice one in that race. So, I mean, she's obviously the one to beat. You know, it's another one coming back off a couple qualifiers. So she looked good in those. But again, lots of things to go for this season. And I'm sure that they're looking at a lot of different races. So can you beat her? Now could be a good one time to try. The problem is a lot of these horses here are mostly overnight types. She has a lot more class than all these horses, so I would probably just sit and watch this race.
I'm concerned how Hatter has a horse to beat my girl EJ, looking at what, like, not to say anything against the field, but it's what you're saying, Mike. There's a clear class divide, so I don't know how Hatter can extrapolate something else out of this. What possibly are you thinking?
Okay, so
it's not Sarasota Hanover. It's not okay.
5'8". Well, look, the argument's gonna be maybe my girl EJ, and the unlikely case she needs one off the bench. So I can't take another horse then that's coming off the bench too in exchange, right? I mean, outside post, we'll see how she works out the trip. And you know, I feel like, look, my concern is that she's gonna be such a short price, you know. I think that she has the potential to be way bet down. Everybody else's price is going to be way inflated. And the one, Rocket Deo, for Brett Pelling, that was a good seasonal debut at Pocono. Second start off the bench, draws the rail. Maybe she takes another step forward. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm definitely not saying she is the most likely winner. But if it's going to be 1-5 versus, I don't know, 6-7, 8-1, 8-1, whatever it is, you know, I think it's worth a stab.
My girl EJ is definitely in the tougher spot here, having that outside post where she could much more easily get to the lead. Hatter, this is like flawless logic from your part. That one's got a tricky spot because don't forget that starting gate is like this. It's slanted. Like, it's not slanted like that, but it's tough to – it'd be like – so you're like this. It's slanted like this. And so those outside horses are building their momentum. And yeah, my girl EJ is going to be able to swoop to the lead if she wants. That one's in a really tough spot. That's a from me. I don't see what price she could possibly be where it's worth anything.
All right, Ray, take your 1-9 and turn the page.
No, because you turn that 1-9 into like 7-8-1 because Donegal Spirit's going to get second. I think this is going to be a great day. We just recorded the Plus show, and we talked about some guys are going to have massive weekends over at Pimlico. It's going to be a great weekend for Andrew Harris to finish second. He's going to finish second in the first division. He's going to finish second in this division to the favorite, and you can just make your money off of that. And they say losing races doesn't pay. It can.
Is one of these two horses going to come back and win in the 10th race too then, or be second in the 10th race? Or is that
no, because unlike, like, even though harness horses are able to do that, we just don't like doing that anymore.
Here was a comment. It says, no one is watching and you should have a bullet in your head for this. I'm not sure what Tommy, he must not like us.
Nah, you know, I...
No way.
Yeah, I'm live commenting during the show just to try and punch up the numbers.
Oh, I meant it's about you, but it could be from you too. Either way, yeah.
No. There's a logic to it, but at the same time, no one really said the tree shouldn't fall in the woods, whether there were people there or not. That's my argument.
Race 10, Ray, final division here. PA Sire Stakes 3-year-old filly pace the third division. I mean, another field of six here. You got no Andrew Harris, so you're gonna have to go somewhere else.
That honestly, I had no one where I knew they were gonna finish second. So this was probably the hardest handicapping challenge. And honestly, it's the most even race because you have Can I Get a Loop Loop, who was just kind of like a second string Burke Stakes horse last year. You know, she's well bred. She figures to be okay, depending on just how the year goes, but she's the most logical. She could win off the blocks. She's going to be the favorite though, so I don't really care. 3 Passion Stowe seems like the next most logical and might even be like my top call inside of that race, but she's coming off that second place finish at Mohawk where she kicked home in 26-4 gaining off the pocket trip. That was a 50-3 mile. Everyone's going to see how fast that was. And I mean, she could even be the favorite. For all I know, inside of this race, just off a line like that. She did well when shipping down to Pennsylvania for some sire stakes stuff last year. Into the Andrew Harris barn! That's the through line! Okay, this horse might get second, actually. The 4 What's Up Hand, like, these are all the most obvious ones. To me, I'm thinking I'm against Can I Get a Loop Loop, presuming she's the favorite. I would hope the 4 What's Up Hanover does okay, because she's been in terrific form, and it's nice to see a guy like Eric L. get a really nice horse. She's won 4 straight. She's going for 5 straights. She swept the Weiss series over at Pocono, beat older mares down at Rosecroft. So she gets a good draw. Problem is the trip is probably going to force her to have to go first over. John is on Bellucci for whatever reason. But, you know, I think a Pennsylvania Sire Stake is a great place to break your maiden. And not many horses are able to do that. This is a tough race to talk about right now, because generally this is one where if I was watching it, I would just bet whoever's the best price, because I don't have the prices in front of me. I have no clue.
Not going to be the best price, but Can I Get a Loup Loup? Cannot lose this race.
A Loup Loup.
I'm so glad that Ray and I are finally back on different sides of the aisle. If anybody's listened to the Plus show that we did on the Thoroughbred side, the middle pick 5 at Preakness Day on Saturday, like, Ray, it was like freakily concerning how similar our tickets are. So I'm pretty
I know. It was like I was shocked that you finally learned how to handicap after all of these years with the way you mapped that ticket.
I thought you were trying to figure out how to handicap and not give us the Ray Fitoldo 30-1 special. But Mike, what do you see in this race?
You guys still really haven't given the winner, and that's the 3 Passing Stowe. I think has some back class at 2. Has returned pretty well. Those qualifiers had big kicks and raced well. 26-4 on that qualifier, 25-3 on the qualifier, 26-4 in the race. So I think that this horse has some interesting numbers here. Probably has the best kick in the race, should get a setup here, especially in these, sometimes these PA Sire Stakes can get a little quick up front. This horse is going to roll late, and I like the progression for this horse. I like that Merriman gets on. And Passing Stowe for me in the 10th.
All right. Well, we will have to quickly discuss some Mohawk stuff. We'll get to the Black Eyed Susan, Pimlico Friday. We got to go quick, though, because Ray Cotola wants out of here before the end of the Celtics game. Mike, he hammered. He texted me the ticket. He hammered the Celtics tonight, -1430 money line, and he is about to cash a ticket, it looks like. Sorry, Randall.
What's hammering for Ray? What's hammering?
$14.30. He is going to profit $1. He's going to go to the grocery store and buy a single piece of candy and enjoy that profit.
That could get you two bananas, depending.
Make sure, you know, you really should. Bananas are, you know, Ray, you can buy a lot more grapes or bananas. Like, you gotta unpeel them, like, at the store, right? Because you're paying for that weight. You gotta, you know, by weight.
Well, no, because then like, the innards are touching all the stuff of the germs and things.
Cut the stems off, at least do something.
I mean, everyone knows the trick, but I can't talk about the trick because, you know, I don't know if everyone listening to this is cool.
All right,
but if they were, then they could learn the trick. But I can't share the trick with people who aren't cool. That's just like the bro code.
Woodbine Mohawk Park Friday, Mike. We have got some exciting stuff for Mohawk this coming year. We've got obviously going to get really rolling here at the end of the month with our standard weekly shows for Mohawk. Going to put them in the mix. We're going to discuss right up through some of the big races here. North America Cup obviously is really not that – I mean, a month away, right? I mean, everything comes up once quick, right? Mm-hmm. Mohawk Million comes up in September. Obviously, a lot of other stakes, the Wellwood, all these other stakes in Mohawk coming out throughout the summer. So, Mike, we're going to get Mohawk back on the show. We're going to get you paid, and you can add more Chanel bags when you're hooked back there behind you.
Yeah, we need more Chanel here because Corey needs more Chanel.
Don't lie, we know it's yours.
We're going to keep doing the pods and, you know, hopefully we can. So everyone check out the newsletter too, in the money buddy, in the moneypodcast.com/harness.
Definitely check it out because then the next live stream you see, there's going to be five more bags back there.
Yeah. And, so check back. Signed up for the newsletter. Check that out, and lots of great coverage from Mohawk. I can't wait for Mohawk to come back because that's where I do all the picks on NahuPicks.com. Actually, I'm only doing 2 days a week right now because we get some guest handicappers for Friday. Kevin Plotcher does Thursday. Tuesdays are coming, though, in June. So huge coverage of all the stakes there. We always have lots of great opinions, and the Mohawk shows are coming back, so hopefully you can find those weekly.
And thanks, John Rao is pointing out North America Cup. You know, Ray, you're big in the publicity side of our sport. I'm petitioning. We need consistency because normally I get that right, saying North America. I think I'm biased because now working at Yonkers, the North American Amateur Drivers Driving Association, whatever it is, we need consistent words. We can only use either North America or North American.
Don't start with this crap.
We can only use driving or drivers. We need consistency.
No, because this all bleeds back towards the bastardization of language, all right? Because everyone says it wrong does not mean we just de facto say it's right, all right? It's still when you're describing something that's myriad, there are myriad consequences. There are not a myriad of consequences. But because everyone says myriad of consequences, you can go to an English professor and they say that's the correct way to say it. And we can't do that with every. You can do that with some things. I'll admit with some things, but Mike, in terms of just sentence structure,
fantastic. All right, Mike, let's move on to the third race on Friday night. We got the Philly Amer preferred pace. So Sylvia,
all you have to do
he's back.
Is just accept there's no N in the name. Like there's an N in North. But then in no other part of the name of the race is there an N. And just, it's the North America Cup.
Race
That's it.
Three. Friday night, Mike. The Philly
I'm muting myself.
Race. Sylvia Hanover makes a return. Now she's four. You know, always been a little quirkier racing style. You know, some of these races, you always wonder if she's actually going to get there or not. Always kind of interesting to watch some of her races. So she comes back. Prohibition Legal, second start of the year. Obviously, some other talented ones in here. Silver Label, second start of the year after winning as the favorite last time out. So we're kind of getting to that time of the year, Mike, where, you know, horses like So Much More to Barn Dogs Watching, plenty of backlash to them. They've got starts under their belt. Other horses, like the other three I just mentioned, first starts of the year, second starts of the year. So, again, it's an interesting time of the year because there's decisions to be made on how much you do or don't want horses off the bench.
Yeah, it's a great time because the best horses are coming back now. Everybody's if they're going to be racing this summer, they need to start getting themselves ready to roll. And Sylvia had, you know, she lost an overnight last year. If you look back, she was ended up in that Philly Mare Preferred on September 23rd, and the Barn Dogs Watching beat her that night. So You know, we've seen this fish before a little bit, but she's basically a once in a lifetime type of horse. So would it surprise me for her to win this race? Not at all. It's just be fun to see her come back. And she's coming back against a bunch of toughies. I mean, Prohibition Legal is a freight train up at Woodbine. I mean, that's a really nice horse. Silver Label, she's back. She won some stakes last year, made $500,000. Tells on a Roll's been very good so far this year, has 6 wins and 8 starts. You know, so much more. I mean, she was the queen of the open up there for how many years? I mean, she's made $1.6 million. And then, like I said, the Barn Dogs Watching beat Sylvia last year in a very similar spot. So all these horses have chances. And I'm sure that there are other, you know, engagements being prepared for a lot of these horses for the summer. But it's going to be a fun race. And it's always good to see how they come back. The 4-year-old year can be really tough, but not much has been tough for Sylvia so far. I mean, she's been dominant her first 2 years.
Ray, I feel like you're going to give us the strong anti-Sylvia case for some reason. Am I correct?
Well, he's still muted because he muted himself.
I'm here for that. That works too. Mike, you just want to go to the 11th race?
Okay.
Hey, hold on. I was talking here. Why'd one of you guys mute me?
You muted you.
No, I would never do that. So Sylvia Hanover, you have to remember, has her targets. And this is May, and the first big mare race is in a month.
You're saying this isn't it, Ray? This is not the big comeback spot?
Unfortunately, the $36,000 fillies and mares preferred when you're a horse like Sylvia Hanover is not the main target. It might be disappointing to some people, but – you know, there's some good races down the line. It's either the Roses Are Red is the one that's on Cup Night, not the Milton. The Milton's the one that's later in the – it's one of those two.
That's correct, yeah. Roses Are Red is first.
Yeah, so that's the first stop on her calendar, i.e. she does not need to be fully torqued. So the question with her is, does her natural talent trump the need for – like being conditioned race, super race ready for where she's going? Is she just that much better than horses like Prohibition Legal and Silver Label? That's an interesting question. I think those are the main two, beyond just like your typical overnight dominators here at Mohawk. Like Tells on a Roll has been really good in the preferred of late. So Much More, I think she's starting to age out a little bit. She might be going more towards just like a winter type of dominator, given where she's at. Same thing with the Barn Dogs Watching. So it's possible, but at the same time, Sylvia Hanover is her most beatable first start back. That's just been the trend off of one instance from her 3-year-old season when she came back against older. With her in this race, you're gonna get some value on the Gallucci horses. The edge between, I always thought Prohibition Legal was a nicer horse than Silver Label, but they swapped last year. And to say, I feel like there's still room for Prohibition Legal to step back up because she had soundness issues. She didn't come back until late in her 4-year-old season. So she's had 6 starts maybe in the last 2 years. And that most recent one, a little flat, chasing that kind of speed off a pocket trip. So I don't know, maybe you give the edge to Silver Label again. But she's going to be the second choice. To Sylvia Hanover's what, 4-5? Does that make her 5-2? We'll
see. She might, Silver Label might be the chalk in the race. I mean, I can see it.
Well, I tend to think Silver Label, Sylvia Hanover take money, but what was wrong with Prohibition Legal last time when you look at the fact that she went with Tells on a Roll? These two went at it, 26-1 opening quarter, got shoved in the pocket, 54-1 to the half. Prohibition Legal draws much better now, also a second start off the bench. I think that could be potentially the value in the race. I mean, mm-hmm. I won't be shocked if Sylvia Hanover comes back and wins, but assuming she takes the kind of money that I think she could, I think she could also not. So I think, again, another race where you're kind of want to see the tote board when we get there and get to this race on Friday night. But Prohibition Legal is probably the way I'd lean if the betting goes the way that I think it will. But real quickly, Ray, race 11, Philly and Mare, 9 winners of 15-50 in their last 3. It's race 11, which means it's super high five time. That's why we tossed this in. We just had a mandatory payout up there. Obviously, we're hopefully going to get a couple of them this summer to talk about. Obviously, these are always great betting opportunities, although it's difficult for you, Ray, because you struggle to find the winner, let alone the fifth place horse. But, you know, the all
that was, that was a tough race for the mandatory, especially because, like, you don't want to think it's going to play obvious with that amount of carryover money at play. And then you get an obvious horse like American History going to win. But I was right. I was right about the Greek Freak inside of that one. I said that he was the key. you key around him underneath and then spread around. And it paid what, $8 million? I don't know how much it paid. It paid like what, 500 for 20 cents? The Mando?
I think it was near 1,000.
It was near 1,000. I've never seen $1,000 in my life. So this race is tricky.
You're betting minus 1430 basketball teams. Of course, you've never seen $1,000.
I make terrible decisions. Like, I went to school. And so this race, Need to Breathe is the morning line favorite. The only thing I have to say is if she opens the favorite, she probably wins. If she's not the favorite, I'd be totally against. These are connections that sometimes when the money is on them, they're ready to go. It, like, the sharp money really comes in for the Collins. And she's coming in off an okay qualifier over at Flamborough. 58-4, just kind of strolled around there. You know, this is not an hours of $14,000 group. And on top of that, the other main horses are what? Twin B Tipster, deep closer. There's Mulligan Philly, closes. Mystic Wild Rose, closes. Zeb's Breaking Dawn, closes. Take Your Breath Away, closes. This race is loaded with like no speed. So Need to Breathe doesn't have much to contend with. But similarly, that's why I like a horse like the Four Mending Fences underneath. I think this horse is going to be a big long shot for Meg Crone and Anthony Hahn, even though, you know, Louis was in the sulky. I love these types of horses that have okay miles on the smaller track. She was second three starts ago inside. Oh, is that what I look like? That's awesome.
This is the type of dude betting Flamborough at 10:34 p.m. on Saturday.
Let's go. That honestly, that's a vibe. That's a textbook vibe. I think that would be the guy who's like on TV and you see him just going, this next race, I think the five horse really stands a good chance. If this is not just me at Oak Grove, if I'm being honest.
There are fans everywhere. Mike, there is a new Ray Catola fan club going on.
I love it.
I mean,
are you done or you have anything else to offer on this race?
Because I was trying to just purely talk about this race, but apparently I'm bigger than I am. When I'm trying to just focus on the racing here, Mending Fences is this type of horse. I love the small track ones that do okay, that move to the bigger track. This horse only has small track lines. Sure, on Feb 16th was up the track in 55 and on winners of two. I don't care. It's going to be a big price. I think the fours they use underneath, Better's Punch might make sense here. She's probably going to try and show speed to the inside. But ultimately, if the five is the favorite, good luck beating her.
Mike?
Well, I mean, Need to Breathe was, you know, racing up near the preferreds last year, basically fell down the ladder and hasn't been seen since February. Now, this is a pretty, pretty low spot for this one here. These numbers of $1,550 and then you have a qualifier, you have a prep. She's probably going to go. She's probably going to win. I could see Better's Punch, but the two races since she's returned really haven't been very good. Ninth in both races. Now, this is a big drop for her. She was in the super final last year and just missed getting a check. So another one probably that needs to be considered. It looks like a bunch of, you know, it looks pretty chalky in here. I could see the 10 a little bit. Zeb's Breaking Dawn, 1-3 back, and then has had, you know, tough posts, tough trips. Did kick 26-2 last time, despite being 82-1 versus numbers of 9,050. This is a huge drop for this horse, too. Could get ignored off the post. So I would probably key the ticket around the 5, thinking, like Ray said, she's probably going to be good to go here. And then it's wide open underneath.
All right, well, plenty more Mohawk coverage to come for us. Plenty more Meadows coverage to come for us. Real quickly here, wrapping up the show, a little bonus coverage. Friday racing at Pimlico. It means it's George E. Mitchell Black-Eyed Susan Stakes Day. Race 13 to 14. Hey, you know, while we're on the topic, just a real quick thought. Ray, I'm looking at you when I say the word quick. So, you know, I feel like I watch the Derby all the time and sit there and whine at 2 p.m. Oh, gosh, there's going to be 6 races run over the next 5.5 hours. Then I look at a card like Black Eye Susan Day. I'm like, wait, that's it? They're going to start at 11:30, and by 6:23, they're going to be done 14 races? I don't know. There's got to be some happy medium in between of spacing races on big days, right?
No. I'll tell you this. We mastered it at Oak Grove, okay? We managed. I shouldn't say we. I had nothing to do with this. I was sitting in a chair. They at Oak Grove managed in 1 hour to run 6 races because the weather couldn't race on track with the lightning. And then they had 1 hour of sunlight left because there's no lights. And so they were able to fit six races back to back to back to back to back in the course of an hour. I think that's how we should do it, but like 12 races, get them all done in 2 hours, and then you can go to the grocery store and go home to your wife or husband.
Ray, when I was setting post times last night at Yonkers, and I just saw that Oak Grove was over 90 minutes over post time dragging. Yeah. That's when I figured, okay, they got to be in a weather delay. I pulled it up. Okay, that's the case. This was like 7:40. I know darkness there is like 8:45 or whatever.
Well, yeah, but it's also 8 central
o'clock,
time.
8 o'clock. So race 7 is where you started your delay. 8 o'clock, I went on my phone and I see race 9 is off at Oak Grove. And I was like, oh, okay. So clearly they've canceled, right? They're just going through the app went through process canceling. And then I pull up race 8 and I'm like, there's results? They not only are resuming racing, they got through three races this fast.
Yeah, no, and see, it's ideas like that make that people don't realize Oak Grove is true. Like, it is truly the next tier of harness racing. The next everything else is, it can't compare. It's the next generation of where everything
is
going.
This version of Harness Players Podcast is not sponsored by Oak Grove whatsoever.
It's not. I don't even have to say anything about it. I'm just still damn impressed that it happened.
But Mike, this pains me to say, but we got to give the people what they want. And the internet right now is having this love affection with Ray Catolo. So if they want more Ray Catolo for some ungodly reason, Mondays and Tuesdays, 4 p.m., go watch the Oak Grove feed. You don't even have to worry about Mike and I. You can listen to all the Ray you want.
More Ray is like having more cowbell. Like, you got to have more cowbell.
I guess sometimes it's just I don't know.
Like,
I could be me all the time.
You know, I feel like on big days when, you know, we're also looking at this as, you know, degenerate gamblers and deeply invested horse people.
You might be. Speak for yourself, okay?
I think the music, everything else, it's okay to keep other people's attentions, but I think that's part of the problem in general, that, you know, obviously horses, LASIK, you know, warm-ups, especially harness racing, everything else, we can't run them off 10 minutes every single week, but I do think we have this difficulty trying to keep people's attention spans, and especially at home on Derby Day. I mean, I don't know. I can't really speak for non-horse people per se, but if they're watching the Derby broadcast, are they really interested in sitting 90 minutes between races on Derby Day?
Big days are long days now. It's hard, you know, to get through. Sometimes it's 6, 7, 8 hours even. You know, Derby Day started at 10:30 in the morning. They didn't finish until they raced the last race at 8 o'clock at night. So, I mean, and I've been to the Derby. They're long days. So I get it for TV and things like that, but not really a fan. I wish we could speed it up. I don't want a dog track fast, but I wish we could speed it up.
Yeah, think of Derby Day versus Black Eyed Susan Day. Derby Day starts at 10:30. Last race was 8:45, and that is 14 races. Black Eyed Susan Day, 14 races, 11:30 first post. We're going to start an hour later. Last post, 6:23. So finishing 2.5 hours. That's 3.5 hours difference between those cards with the same number of races. That's incredible differential. But anyway, our order of business is discussing the 13th race on that card that's going to go post-war just before 6 o'clock. Black-Eyed Susan Stakes 2024, Ray Catolo. Torpedo Anna, does she get the second leg of the Philly Triple Crown?
I mean, if at this point, if that's your question, we're sending out a search party for Torpedo Anna because no one has any idea where she is. She's not in the Black-Eyed Susan. So Ed Hatter needs to know where she might be. Do you have a number you can flash? Can we flash Ed's number on screen right now? So if anyone sees Torpedo Anna, they could just like shoot him a text, give him a call. Mike's working on that.
Mike, maybe just mute Ray and give us your pick on the race.
No, go ahead, Ray. Give us your pick.
No. It's very clear. It's very clear that no one wants my pick. No one wants my Black-Eyed Susan pick. That's
okay. You know, Ray and I are in sync at Pimlico. It's okay. I know Ray and I have the exact same thought at Pimlico again here. It's Lemon Muffin. It's D-Wayne Lucas this weekend, Mike.
That's who I like, Lemon Muffin. If you go to In the Money Plus, if you're subscribed to In the Money Plus, you can get trip notes from the Derby and the Oaks from Justin Christein, who does fantastic work there. So just another nice little perk if you're looking at Plus. He did trips for the Derby prep races on In the Money Plus. Well, he did trips for the Derby and the Oaks. So this is a long way to say that Lemon Muffin, if you read that trip note, had a brutal trip in the Oaks. So now, you know, D-Wayne's right back in the Black Eyed Susan. This horse was able to win the Honey Bee at Oaklawn on February 24th, then ran into Torpedo Anna the last two times. Well, she's not in this race. She would crush this race. I do like Lemon Muffin coming back, and you get Pratt on board now, which is a huge jockey switch. And I do think she really could be tough in that Black Eyed Susan.
I have to give my Black Eyed Susan pick in spite of Ed at this point. And Hatter, I want you to know that this is, don't question anything about this. This is certain. As a matter of fact, everyone watching, this is the first like guarantee a tout will give about any horse race in general. None of these horses are going to win. And that's because Muth is going to enter the Black Eyed Susan. They scratched him out. They scratched him out of the Preakness so that they could take the better prize, which is the Grade 2 Georgie Mitchell Black Eyed Susan Stakes. Book it.
I would love to ask Ray a gender-related question, Mike, but we would like this show to be nice and PG for our audience out there. So I'll ask Ray the YouTube comment instead. Does Jiggy Jog Jog Saturday at the Meadowlands?
Oh, is she in on Saturday?
I don't actually know this either, to be honest. So we're all learning new stuff here.
This is
over in Sweden. What happened to that?
What races are there really for her this time of year? They might try to campaign her. Oh, the Cutler is this weekend.
Oh, Cutler. Yeah, Cutler.
That's right. Yeah. Oh God, I honestly couldn't name a single male trotter that would be able to beat Jiggy Jog.
Let's see. This is impressive. We're gonna have a real life, real time look at this race because we're all learning this for the first time here. So, the Cutler Field, you know what's even better? Oh, Mike, we should learn. Oh, hey, we're going to learn new stuff every single day on this thing. I think I can share a screen, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
You'll be able to.
We're going to share this field, and we're all going to sit here and handicap this in real time for a couple minutes. This is impressive.
It doesn't need a couple minutes. It's Jiggy Jog. You well, watched all of these horses race last year.
Oh, but
how are any of them going to beat Jiggy Jog?
I'm still counting on Asteroid at some point to choose to wake up here in North America and get back to some of the swarm we've seen in Scandinavia.
No. Unless in the score down, he looks like a totally different horse.
Wasn't it the Cutler a couple years ago where
Venerate?
No, Ray, what was your favorite horse of all time? I'm blanking the Oka horse. I'm forgetting all of a sudden.
Oh, my. Nah.
Ekuri. No. Ekuri was beaten by the other thing that was the greatest of all time by Oka, right? And then 18-1 upset. This could be the moment for Asteroid to get Jiggy.
Yeah, that was Araja 1.
Araja 1 gets Ekuri. This could be the opportunity.
It sounds like revisionist history. I'm pulling up the press kit.
Regardless, that is our field there for the Cutler. Good thing we mentioned that. The Meadowlands, that's the 11th race on Saturday night. And actually a pretty good card in general. Obviously, we're getting to that point of the year there at the Meadowlands where there's a lot of stakes horses, a lot of them in. John Rallis is saying Jiggy Jog will crush, so that's always good information for us to know from him. But,
This is the one time where I'm saying John is right. Because, like, John is usually always right, but he's especially right when it comes to Jiggy Jog.
Oh, right. And he says Araja won the – oh, and John's also correct here. Araja won the Crawford, not the – he misspelled Cutler, but Cutler. Yeah, that's right. It was Ekuri who won the Cutler, I believe, and then gets crushed down the 1-9 in the Crawford. Then Araja wins. But either way, it's a race earlier this year for Oka. Asteroid backs the winner's circle, takes care of Jiggy Jog.
Well, that's a nice race, though. I'm at Hill Exotic, Southwind, Tyrion, Venerate, Jiggy Jog. That's – you know, I think Jiggy Jog win that race, but –
yeah, the only horse that could possibly like challenge in that field is Venerate, and even then, I have no idea where he's at because he had kind of a weird end of the season last year, but when he came back last year, he won this race fairly handily. Just got a really good trip. It's also telling that Brian's not driving, Scotty.
Well, anyway, hey, we got some bonus coverage in there. We've given you everything we possibly can here for the weekend. So hopefully we've given you some winners here on the Harness Players podcast. We definitely hope you join us in the future. I think we're going to do more of these live shows, too. You know, it's not a positive to have to look at Ray Gattolo's face, but I suppose everybody else is happy with everything. Ray's back on his phone. Ray, it's over. The Celtics won. You cast your bet. Everyone's happy. Go spend your money on Preakness weekend or bananas or whatever you want.
Oh, no, I was just trying to make sure that my girlfriend didn't want a treat or something.
You should get her some Chanel. That's the key.
Actually, there's not really much room for Chanel back here at the moment. It's too big. It's too occupied by green, which that hasn't stopped you from the looks of it.
Goodbye.
All right, we'll talk to you next time here on Harness Players Podcast. Best of luck to you this weekend. The Preakness, all these stakes action going on the harness side of things. Hopefully everything's winning bets, and we will talk to you next week. And for me, I will speak to you from overseas in Sweden, and via the power of technology, we'll connect with Mike and Thomas and possibly Ray back in the States. And we'll hopefully give you some Solvalo winners for Elite Weekend next weekend. But for now, again, best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you later here from the Harness Players Podcast.